This is Beth Hanischak interviewing Mr. Charles Knight concerning the history of Mecca. Time is 6:50. Date, May 16, 1979. Mr. Knight, I have some information I'd like to ask you about that I was able to dig up. Were you born in North Bloomfield, Ohio?
No, I was born in West Mecca, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Who is E.J. Knight that was born in?
That was my father.
That was your father. He was born in 1872, roughly around in there.
And he moved to West Mecca, went into the cheese-making business. And he also made ice cream and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little house in the northwest corner where I was born. That house is still in West Mecca. It has been moved back and a little to the north.
Mm-hmm.
The cheese-making business was mostly a summer work. At that time, the farmers or the dairymen, they were not so advanced in producing milk. They had their cows fresh in the spring of the year, and they would have the milk through the summer. And by fall, the cows would dry up, and the cheese factory would close.
Is that right?
And the cows were so poorly fed through the winter, they got so weak that they couldn't get up and down themselves.
Was it because they didn't know how to take care of the cows?
That's right, and they didn't have the proper feed, see? And I've heard my father tell how the neighbors used to go from one neighbor to the other and help tail the cows up. That is, they would get hold of the tail and help the cow get up. The cattle would get that weak.
Is that right?
And of course, as years went on and they learned how to better feed cattle, why, they began to produce milk in the winter. And that's when the creameries came. The cheese factories closed. Milk went to cream.
Is that right? Your mother's maiden name was Fairy?
Minnie Fairy.
Minnie Fairy. Father's name was Byron?
Her father.
Her father, right. And your father and mother were married in 1893?
1893.
It's incredible. And then they moved to West Mecca, right, after they were married?
They were married in North Bloomfield. There's history there. The old Brownwood farm, did you ever?
I've been through Bloomfield, sure.
You know, there used to be a big farm, 1,100 acres.
Oh my gosh.
And a fellow by the name of Brown owned it. And he was also justice of peace. And he had a little office right on the southwest corner of the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
My father and mother were married in that office.
Is that right?
That office has been moved to the historical site. Now, I can't tell you just where, but it has been moved up.
I see. What made your parents move again? They moved why? Why did they move to West Mecca?
Why did they move to West Mecca?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm digging up some good stuff. I can
the first year that they were married, they lived upstairs across the road from the Brownwood farm, the old McAdoo house. They worked, father worked, wherever he could find work. And my father has told me that through the summer, he worked for a dollar a day. When winter came, or fall came, he had $50. And he said, when spring came, I still had the $50.
Exactly.
He cut wood through the winter to help buy their food and pay their rent.
That's amazing. When did they move to West Mecca, roughly what year?
1 year later.
1 year later?
That would be, they were married in...
1893?
93.
So in 1894 then they...
Well, they lived in Bloomfield 1 year. Then they
I see.
Mm-hmm. I think he was in that cheese factory for 5 years. And then he bought a farm in East Mecca. That's where Joe Darvish now is.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived there, I can't I know I went to school 1 year. And then he moved to next farm north. He sold that one and moved to next farm north.
How did he get involved in this cheese-making business? Why? How did that start? He just decided to start it and was able to do it?
Well, it was quite a going thing, ma'am. There was cheese factories in all townships. There used to be one below East Mecca, too.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow by the name of Clark run that when I went to school. And there was three here in Green Township. See, the farmers, they couldn't transport the milk very far because that was in the days of horses and bad roads,
sure.
Mud roads, and so they had cheese.
What do you remember about your parents? Tell me, describe them to me. What were they like? What can you remember?
My father was a very exacting man. He was a very hard worker.
Is that right?
And he got involved in civil activities too in the community. I don't know. Well known. When I married, he owned the farm in East Mecca. I got married in 23. I don't want to say anything against my father.
Well, go right ahead. There's no one that can do anything. You say what you feel and you believe.
Well, I was to take over the farm. He got a job as county truant officer.
Really?
And I was to take over the farm. Well, I was working just night and day, and father was used to having plenty of help on the farm, and I could get a hired man that was very dependable.
Sure.
And he'd come up there and find fault with things. He never went to me, though. He went to my wife, see.
Mm.
And she got a very unhappy person.
Sure.
So I bought my own farm up here in Green. I moved from Green 26.
Where we're at right now?
No.
No?
No. I'm where I am now. Oh dear. You know where the Kingdom Hall is down
yes.
there?
Yes.
Well, you go straight up that road, and I bought that first farm on the right. In 26, there was nothing there. I put up pretty near every building.
Mm-hmm.
And I raised my family there during the Depression. And never missed a payment on my farm. I had an awful good helper, I'll tell you. I had the best woman in the world. And the farm was always good to me. Always good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to make maple syrup. I can't wait hardly from one season to another. And of course, raising a family, you've got a plan. How are you going to do it and pay for a farm? Well, I got a dairy, and I kept some chickens, and I raised potatoes, 5-6 acres every year. And in the fall of the year then, I put an ad in the Tribune, and I would sell my potatoes over the fence. They'd line up, I'd have to have 4 or 5 men weighing out potatoes and take care of the customers. That made my fall payment on my farm. And I always had some wheat. I'd put that in the granary. And then my syrup making money and my wheat would make my spring payment. We had our milkshakes and our egg money to keep the family.
I guess. My goodness, you were a go-getter. What was your mother like? Did they get along well? Was she a pleasant lady?
Oh, yes. Yeah. She was a very pleasant lady.
What can you remember about her? She was small. What did she look like?
She was chubby like I.
Got a nice body.
And she was a wonderful singer. She and I used to sing at funerals. You remember years ago, you used to have the funerals in the home.
Yeah. Yes, I remember my parents telling me that.
Yeah.
They
didn't have funerals.
That's right.
And we used to sing funerals together. I would sing, she with a soprano voice, and I would come in with a second tenor or a solo, a contralto voice. We harmonized. We used to sing over the temple. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was a lovely woman.
Could you remember doing in Mecca, people laid in your house in Mecca? Is that right? Wasn't that spooky, though? How did you react as a child and having to go to bed in that same house where you know that there's someone laying there? Did that bother you at all?
No, it didn't.
No?
It was a common thing at that time.
That's interesting. I don't know if I could handle that or not.
Well, what else?
But you didn't, that's right. That's right.
It was a way of life then.
Uh-huh. Your parents had 5 children, Howard, you, Richard, Earl, and Mabel. Mm-hmm. I understand Mabel died, she was 13, she died of diphtheria.
That's her picture. In there.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Were you the oldest, youngest?
I was the third. Mabel was the oldest, Howard was the second, and I was the third. Then there was Richard, and then there was Earl.
Mm-hmm. All of you were born in Mecca?
All of them.
Mm-hmm. What was it like? That's a pretty big family. Did all of you contribute to the farm and all of you had to work and keep things going?
Well, yes, we all worked on the farm. Of course, her being the oldest, when he got married, he went, took up housekeeping and farming where Earl lives. And then when I left the home place, he come up and took over there when I bought my own place.
Mm-hmm. Was it a fun household other than the work? What did you do for enjoyment as brothers and sisters?
For enjoyment?
Mm-hmm.
I was always playing hooky and going fishing.
Oh.
And my father bought his first automobile in 1915. The Model T Ford, and the first summer he took us up to Lake Erie, and we could brag about that because we went up and back and never had a flat tire, and that was very, very unusual. But there was no paved roads, and every once in a while we'd get into a sandbank, and they'd put you, you'd get stuck and jump sideways with the car and everything else. These roads used to be places that'd be sand.
Is that right?
Sand would be that deep. You'd get stuck in it. Always carried a shovel. Big sand out in front of the wheel.
That's incredible. You were born in 1902, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Born in 1902, you were just, as a child, you grew up during World War I.
Right. Well.
Well, you were still pretty young yet, right?
It was really pretty, well, World War I started when? 1918, 1917.
Yeah, the United States entered in 1917.
Yeah, well, you see, I would be 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
Worked the team, milked cows. When I was 8 years old, I started milking cows by hand.
Is that right?
My father was one of the biggest dairymen in the section at that time. During World War I, we shipped 12, 15 cans of milk every morning, and that was way beyond most farms.
What was a typical day like for you then? When you'd get up in the morning, you have to milk cows. What time did you get up?
5 o'clock.
Tell me what that day was like for you. Got up at 5 o'clock, then what?
Went out and milked the cows. That took us an hour. And then I generally helped feed the cows. We'd have to throw the silage out. Didn't have silo unloaders like they got today. Had to climb up and throw it down and carry it in a bushel basket, feed the cows. And my father always had a lot of chickens. And feed the chickens. We had to carry water to them. Didn't have water there. And then we shipped the eggs to W.P. Salvage Company in Cleveland. We had a one-horse spring wagon. We used to take the eggs to Cartland Station. You don't remember the station there? It's not mm-hmm. there anymore. And we went up to W.P. Southwest Company. Every week we'd get an egg check. Father was, he was a good farmer. He was an outstanding farmer, county agent. In fact, he was one of the first farmers in Trumbull County that thresh red clovers. They didn't raise clover until they started putting lime on, see?
Mm-hmm.
This land around here was very, very low in lime. And County H can bring them out here.
Is that right? What time are you done with your work during the day? That typical day you were just telling me, what time are you done with your work? Or didn't it ever get done?
Farmer's work's never done. That's right. Why I never grew up with this. Well, we'd usually by 7:30, 8 o'clock, we'd go in for breakfast. And then we'd start in the day's work. We had to clean the barn, clean the litter out,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Sure.
And when that was done, they took the team, went to field. Plowed and harrowed and cultivated. No tractor.
It must have been so difficult.
I don't know. We enjoyed it.
Is that right?
Walk behind the walking plow in the bare feet, pick up fish worms. And after we worked all day, we'd go down to Mosquito Creek and fish at night.
That's funny. Oh my goodness. What time are you done with your chores then? Standing at 5, 6 o'clock?
6:30.
And you go fishing a little bit?
Yeah. The farmers always had time to go to the neighbors. And
really?
Either you went to some of the neighbors or they came in and they'd talk about the activities of the day and this and that and the other. If someone was sick in the neighborhood, they were all there to help. If someone got a leg broke or an arm broke, the other farmers went in and planted these crops. They worked together.
Oh, that's great. You don't see that today, I don't think. I'm not in farming, but I don't think you'd see that today. Does that sadden you to see that?
Sure is. Everybody's on his own.
Sure.
That's what's ruined the country. Of course, the young folks don't think the country's ruined, but it is. It is.
Sure.
That little farm, that little home life. The children grew up under the supervision of their parents. They had something to do. When they came home from school, they had a job. They
sure.
worked. And my father always paid us a little something.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, we learned to handle money.
Sure. What were some prices that your father was selling the eggs and got that egg check? How much money did you receive? I wouldn't even know how to guess. On
eggs during World War I were 75, 80 cents a dozen. And the feed that went into those chickens cost probably $4 or $5 a 100 pounds. That's a supplement. We had our own feed mill on that farm.
Oh, is that right?
We had a big gas engine we ran on that. And we would grind our own corn, our own oats and wheat, and buy supplement, meat scraps or tankage and stuff like that. And you know today, eggs, well, my son over here is retailing for 70 cents. That supplement that he puts with his grain costs 17 and a half. See?
Mm-hmm.
See how hard it is to farm.
Yeah, sure it is. That old homestead that you talk about your parents, take me through that house. Tell me what that house looked like. Can you remember? Tell me what that house looked like.
Well, it's a T-shaped house. It's got the uprights to the south end, then there's a long wing, and clear to the very north end, well, we'll come in the kitchen door.
Okay.
It's a big kitchen. It goes clear through the house. There's the front door from the kitchen, the back door from the kitchen. No, it's a cook stove in there, too.
What's a cook stove?
Mm-hmm. A wood burner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And wooden coal. And north, to the right of the kitchen was a pantry. One side of that pantry was all cupboards and the other side was shelves. And then in the northeast corner was a bedroom off the kitchen. That's where the head man is.
Oh yeah?
And then I can draw it out.
Tell me, you're doing terrific.
Well, you go from the kitchen into a big living room. And then to the south end of the living room, there was a stairway, went upstairs. It was an enclosed stairway. And also another bedroom and a parlor. and there was two bedrooms upstairs. So, a great big attic.
Did you have indoor plumbing, outdoor plumbing? I don't.
Had outdoor plumbing. It had that little thing you put under the bed, too. More than once it went downstairs.
Did you get indoor plumbing then eventually, or?
Father was one of the first ones around to have electricity.
Okay.
He bought a Delco light plant. That consisted of a little generator,
uh-huh,
and I think it was 32 storage batteries. Once a week, he had to run that thing all day long and charge those up. Well, he had a water pump run off of that electric. And then we got one of the first bathrooms around put in there. We had running water to the barn, to the chicken house. Of course, we had electric lights, too.
Mm-hmm. Describe to me with that barn and all the surrounding little buildings that you had.
Oh, see, your name's Beth.
Right.
Oh, dear me.
Making you work tonight.
Well, you ought to stop and see it.
Oh, I'd like to.
You know that place is all going to pieces?
Is that right?
Howard's widow lives there, and they rent the land out. The buildings are all going to pieces. It's a great big long barn, double silo in the south end. Big chicken house, big tool shed. Doors are falling off. She's just my age.
I hate to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that. So go ahead, tell me what then would that look like, all of those buildings on the outside. Was it just a one big barn then?
One big barn.
I see. Where was the chicken coop?
The barn was, how long? Must be 150, maybe more, might be 180 feet long. It's a long barn. You probably noticed it's on that.
Yeah.
And that's the road. The chicken house, there was a driveway between the barn and the chicken house that went back. There was a lane,
mm-hmm,
that went the whole length of that farm, went clear back to the Phillips Rice Road.
Mm-hmm.
When Father bought that farm, he laid the fields all out in 16 acres, each one. There are six of them. There's a lane between them. And then there's 75 acres on each side of the Phillips Rice Road. We used to have a little sugar camp back there.
How many acres altogether did he have?
200.
200 acres? Unbelievable. Do you know how much he paid for it at that time?
$4,500.
Really?
And it was all run down. He had to fix it up. Built the barn.
One thing that interests me, how did he become so knowledgeable in farming? He said he was just a great farmer. Where did he get all his knowledge at?
My father attended New Line Institute and took up a business course, an agricultural course. Now, you don't know where New Line Institute is.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Well, it was, he goes straight up north on 46, north of, it's in New Line Township.
Mm-hmm.
It's up at, you went into a little crossroad called Brownville.
Okay.
And then next is the intersection of New Line. And that was a college.
Is that right?
And now it's nothing but an empty place.
I see.
I heard my father tell he had to take a train up there.
Really?
Pennsylvania Railroad. So, of course, he lived in Bloomfield when he was a young man. He'd go to Lockwood, take a train up to the...
Oh, my goodness.
Come home on weekend on the train.
So that's where he got all his knowledge about the farm then.
Well, there's no substitute for experience. Where did I get my knowledge?
Well, we're going to get to that. I'm curious myself. My goodness.
Well, okay.
What year did you start grade school?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I started when I was 6 years old.
So? About 1910? Right around in there, if you were born in 1902?
Well, it would be 1908.
Yeah, 1908. Right, 1908. Where'd you start school at?
East Mecca. They had a centralized school right across the street from where Maplewood is.
Mm-hmm.
You probably heard of it.
Right.
It was a third grade school. They only had 2 years of high school. And it got so that we didn't have a professor there. They used to call him a professor.
Is there?
It had one between it, East and West Mecca. East and West Mecca always feuded.
Oh, I've heard that. Go ahead.
So he would be in West Mecca 2 weeks, and he'd come to East Mecca 2 weeks. And while he was in West Mecca, the big boys raised Cain in East Mecca.
Uh-huh. Were you one of those people who did that?
Oh, I was always a good one.
An angel with horns, it sounds like. Tell me some of those experiences. I can see you've had a lot of them in grade school. What can you remember about that?
Well, there's one thing I'll never forget. C.W. Parnaby was their principal. And they used to call him. I didn't. I always had respect for my teachers. But the bigger boys, and they got to call him just White Pig, C.W. Parnaby. And they called him that to his face. One day they tied him to the fence. It was a board fence around the schoolhouse. They tied him out the fence, and school didn't take off for an hour after the regular time. He never got mad either.
Is that right?
He took that good nature. And he got angry, I don't know what happened. And we used to have outdoor plumbing. We had the little building, and then they had a board screen around it. Well, while he was over to West Mecca, every time the boys would go out there, they'd kick off a board around that screening. So it finally got so all left us a little building. It wasn't safe to go out there. When he came by, saw what happened. All the boys had to get the hammer and the nail to do good by it.
Is that right?
Are we?
That's all right. That's great. I love it. That's great. See, I didn't hear that before. It's good.
There's lots of things you didn't hear.
Talk and tell me more. I love it.
Well, I don't know. When I graduated from that school in 1918. I was the only one in my class.
The only one in your class?
I was the only one in my class.
How did that come about? What happened?
There was no more. A lot of the young boys dropped out. Worked on the farm or something.
You graduated, you were the only one in the graduating class.
I was the only one that graduated.
That's incredible.
And I took plane geometry and solid geometry. And I put every figure on the board myself, and I'd explain it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You go down the Phillips Rice Road. You know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right, all the way to Cortland, was nothing but sugar bushes, maple syrup trees, and sugar houses. All down through there, it was the most beautiful sight you ever saw. The farmers kept those woods clean. You could see through them. You could see their sugar house where they boiled the sap. And in the spring of the year, as soon as they start to boil, we'd look out the upstairs window in the school and we'd see those steam from those sugar houses.
Mm.
And do you suppose you could keep us young boys from playing hooky? We'd have to play hooky every time. And we'd get a licking too.
But we'd play
hooky anyway. We'd go down through there and visit the sugar houses. Some of those sugars were receptive and just as nice as could be, and the others would chase you out.
Who were some of the people that had those sugar houses? Remember any names? Can you give me any names?
I can remember them all.
Well, tell me.
Well, Slim Simpson's father was the first one. You know where Slim Simpson
is? Yes, I do.
The next one down was Wanamaker. And the next one down was Chafee. And the next one down was King. And then there was the Lake Farm. And then there was Holcomb's.
Mm-hmm.
Below Holcomb's was Bert Baldwin. And then come Caulfield. Below Caulfield.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. I had a teacher in high school by the name of Caulfield. His first name was Lee.
There was no relation to them.
No relation? Okay.
Lee Caulfield, they're better than Green.
Is that right? That's been some years ago. He's since passed away, but I had him in high school for chemistry, I believe it was.
I gave him his diploma.
Well, so go ahead, keep telling me.
We're going on down. Where did I leave off?
After Caulfield.
And then Biggins. And then J.B. Rice. And then there was down in the curve of the road was Jacoby's. And below that, I can't tell you the next one. We're getting downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That was all woods.
Oh, I'm sure it was. What did that school look like that you attended, that centralized school? That was right on the, where the creek is, where the creek was? Was that school that you went to?
No.
You went?
We had a school at East Montgomery. We had a school at West Montgomery.
Okay.
It was a wood frame building. If you had time, I'd go get your picture.
Go ahead. Go, tell me more what it looked like.
It was two rooms downstairs. One big room upstairs.
Is that right?
The room to the west was called a primary. I think that was first, second, third grade. Then we called the next the intermediate room. And fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh. And upstairs at the high school. Just ninth and tenth. And if you wanted to finish high school, you had to go to court.
Did you do that?
I started. The next year after I graduated from there, I started, and my brother Howard got appendicitis. In the fall of the year, we silo to fill, and field corn to harvest, potatoes to dig and everything, so I quit. And then, the next year, I went down to Courtland. That was 2 years from there. I took 2 years of agriculture. I took bookkeeping. We had subjects in school that were, I don't know, helpful to you in farming. Mm-hmm. I took sociology, biology, civics, economics, subjects like that. Oh, but they don't teach them anymore, do they?
Yeah, we have those.
You do? Mm-hmm. You don't teach agriculture?
No, we don't. We don't.
I was interested in that.
Sorry. Who were some of the teachers you had? Were there any ones that were outstanding in your mind?
That were what?
Outstanding, any ones you can really, really remember.
My estimation.
Is that right? That's great. Who were some of the names? What's some of the names? Do you remember?
Well, sure. I told you, Felix Carnegie.
Right.
I didn't see them, but yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that's okay, because I know.
There was one by the name of Green. I can't think who the, I can think of the younger teachers. It was Myrtle Brown and Mabel Brown. They were sisters. They lived up here in Green. And then there were the Hine girls from Johnson, Mary and Bessie. And then there was Ethel Lehman. She just passed away not too long ago.
Sorry.
Oh, dear.
What time did school start for you in the morning?
Hmm?
What time did school start?
9.
What time was it over?
3:30.
Were there any sporting activities for you, or?
Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We played Johnson. We played West Mecca. Every time we played West Mecca, we had fun. Every time. And we had to walk over to West Mecca and play ball and get all hot and sweat and everything and then walk home.
Oh my goodness.
Not walk home to school, but you had to walk to your home.
When did you practice? Was there an organized practice as there is today?
At noon.
At noon?
Recess is only 15 minutes. We played games outside.
I see.
Pull away and games.
The school didn't have a cafeteria. You brought your lunch, didn't you?
Yeah, you take your lunch. Of course, they had the general store at East Mecca. Faulkner, Bill Faulkner's father. And you could buy a package of chewing gum for a nickel. And if you had a penny, he'd split the package and give you one stick. Did Bill tell you that?
No.
And you could buy a whole stick of candy with a ring on it for a penny.
That's cute.
The well-beat path down there.
Well, was the crick like? Were you happy to see when the reservoir replaced
no.
a creek? Why? I've asked that question so often. Why? Why weren't you happy?
Well, I used to spend a lot of time up and down that woods. I knew where there's some lovely big hickory trees. I'd get those big hickory nuts that would crack meats like the walnut shumai.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew where all the good fish holes were, fishing places were. And I knew where all the good muskrat sets were and mink sets. I got a lot of enjoyment out of that. And with some beautiful timber in there, too.
So really, you're looking on the angle that when the reservoir was built, it just took away all the beauty of that area, correct? Do you feel the farmers got a fair deal on the money that they received?
They got all their land was worth. Of course, the land kept going up. I sold 30 acres to them.
How much did you get for that?
$1,000. Half of it was timber.
Is that right?
But I had bought, that was what I paid for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to your school years, and then you were in school during World War One. Do you remember that war? Did you have anybody that fought in any relatives? Or not?
Some boys didn't go.
Is that right?
We worked on the farm.
I didn't know that. Had you talked about the war all the time? Did you really know?
Oh, we had friend after friend. The worst thing that hit was that Spanish flu. Boy, it took the best, most healthy, strong young men in the community. And they'd only be sick 2 or 3 days and dead.
That hit in the community? When did that hit? I never heard of that.
18 and 19.
And it just wiped out all the healthy men.
And there's more people who lost their lives in the flu than there was in the war.
Is that right? My goodness.
I remember one time I had to do my neighbor's chores across the road and our chores. Everybody was sick of that. Mm-hmm. I was the only one who did it.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
Oh, that was terrible. That was terrible.
I guess. Do you remember in 1919 a cyclone went through and it did destroy the Palmer house? Where were you? What were you doing? Was there a big
hadoop? We were milking cows at that time. It was, 5:30 in the afternoon, 6 o'clock, somewhere along there. And we had to carry the milk. When you got a cow milked, you got a pail of milk. The milk house was up at the house. You had to carry it up to the house. And Father, he saw it first. And he said, look. He hollered at us and we all come out. We could see that wind going around. And we saw two young cattle up in the air going around like that. And they, Denman's over here, had rented Palmer's pasture. And that wind had picked those animals up. And they set them down over in Simpson's pasture. And they weren't hurt.
My goodness. Were you affected by that? Was your farm or anything?
Oh, no.
Nothing?
They took the old church over there and twisted it around, too. There used to be a church right across the Palmer House.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading about that. That's amazing. Had there been anything like, there'd never been like anything like that before? You'd never...
Never seen anything like that?
Yeah. My goodness. What did Mecca look like at that time, during your teens and in the teens itself? Was it just all farm? You gave me such a beautiful description of what is now Phillips Rice. What did the rest of the town, the area look like?
Well, I told you what the Phillips Rice was.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, just north, there was, let's see, I would say maybe 6 houses. There was no houses at all on the left side. The farms are up 46, backed onto that road.
Yes.
But there was maybe 5 or 6 houses on the right. The rest of it's all farmland. But there was no brush. Farmers kept their land. It used to be a law you had to keep your roadside mowed.
Mm-hmm.
if you didn't mow it, the trustees hired someone to mow it and was adding on to your taxes. We didn't have this brush. We had, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
Sure. What did that Mecca Park look like, the center, which is now they
call
the center?
It was beautiful. Of course, the trees were not very big when I remember. But there was a problem with them. They have never grown very fast. I don't know what. And banged up.
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty. There used to be a water trough at the south end, right? Right at the south end of stone was hollowed out. They used to have those every once in a while when we used to drive horses. But, you know, the horses got thirsty, had
sure.
a place to,
sure.
with a pump at one end. Then there was this big stone hole there. It was probably 7, 8, maybe 10 feet long, so wide it was hollowed out. Stone kept the water cool. That's about all there was there.
There's no motel then? There was at one time a motel, correct, in Mecca?
More what?
Wasn't there a motel in Mecca? Or
a hotel.
Hotel?
Sure.
That was right in the circle?
That's the building that's in the southeast corner.
Okay.
Right back of the Dairy Creamers. Mm-hmm. To the right. That was a hotel. And there was a livery barn. South of it. You know, they used to come in on the stage or on the bus.
Uh-huh.
And they'd stay at the hotel, and if they had some friends out 5 miles, they rented a horse and buggy. Or they would hire a hack.
What's a hack?
Well, the man that had the hotel had some horses and buggies. They called them hacks. And he'd drive them out.
I love it. That's
well,
great.
That was the old bus.
Oh, that's neat. And there's a, you said a store there, Faulkner's Own, that was there.
I've been there since I can remember.
Is there anything else? Restaurant?
No restaurant.
No? That is very interesting. After you graduated, what'd you do? You said you had some additional training, right, for farming?
I took 2 years agriculture in high school.
Oh, I see. Okay, I understand that.
I started farming.
Immediately after high school, you started
farming. What?
Immediately after high school, when you started farming.
I farmed, I went in partnership with my father until I got married.
When were you married?
1923.
Mm-hmm.
I was 22.
What is your wife's maiden name?
Helen Dermeyer.
How did you meet?
Oh boy, that's quite a story.
We'll go right ahead.
Well, they lived where Tom Ketcher lives.
Oh, great.
They owned that farm. And we started to school together. And there used to be a rail fence along the east side of the schoolyard. And as kids, we used to play together. We'd get the big flat rail and put over the top of the other, and she'd sit on one end and I'd sit on the other, and we'd teeter over the rail fence. All the children did that, but I always played with her, and all the boys always teased me as being a sissy, and they'd tease her as being a tomboy. But nevertheless, we played together.
Uh-huh.
We went to school together, and we were always close. And when she was sixth grade, they sold the farm, they moved to Nutwood. Now that's, you know where Nutwood is?
No.
It's a mile east of Fowler. They bought a nice home over there. Okay. I went with all the girls from the country. When I was a young man, I did.
Oh my goodness. That's great.
That's great.
Good.
You know Mildred Ballard?
The name is familiar.
I went there for 3 years. We'd go together for a while, and we'd bust. I went with her for horse buggy. Then I'd go all different girls.
Oh, my goodness.
All kinds of girls.
You're called a macho man today. My good, you were something in that time. That's great.
I played ball on the Mecca Town team, and we went to Johnson the 4th of July, and Johnson beat us. And there. There was a blonde-haired girl over there. She just sat back, she was in Johnson, and she just hollered her head off and cheered her head off. And after the game was over, I went out, I says, who are you? My hearing is what it used to be.
Continue with that story you were telling me about the baseball game you went up to that girl after.
Well, that's when she was cheering her fool head off for Johnson, and Johnson won. I went over to see who she was. Yes, she said, told me I'm Barbara Broach. And we visited a while. Well, what are you doing tonight? It's 4th of July. Oh, she said, I don't know why. I said, how would you like to go to Idora Park? Kind of hesitated a little bit. I said, okay. I told her, I said, you know, that's my dad had the Model T Ford. We took that. When I got over to her place, she was stuck with the donkey. And they had 20-some cows, that poor girl was stuck now. And she was a ball of fire. Where's that goat? So I helped her do it well. And we went to Idora Park. I think we got home about 2 o'clock in the morning. And we were sitting in the car there a little bit. And I looked him out. And I thought, somebody's going to get hold of it. And Barb says, what's the matter, Mom? You know, she's looking for Alice, the baby. She said, she's not in her bed. The Brooks had 15 children. So we started hunting for her, and she was out in a buggy, in the shed, curled up in the buggy.
Kids, oh my goodness.
Well, then you asked me how I ever met Helen. Well, I told you. Well, I was mixed up in the Grange. In fact, I was master of the first and second degree team. And
what is that? When you master the first, what is that?
Well, the master is the leader of the Grange.
Okay.
But the master of the degree team is just, he's just in charge of the degree team. He acts as the master. Well, when we have candidates, we have to initiate them. And that's what the degree team did. I'm not going to tell you. That's
mine.
All a secret. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But we used to go to all the townships had grain. Johnson, Fowler, and everything. Well, we were sent to Fowler to put on the first and second degree list. And Helen and her father were there. And, oh, I hadn't seen her for years and years. She looked just as beautiful as she ever did. And we visited a little bit, and I said, I'm going to come over and see you. She was always trying to put me on. I guess I don't know the way the girls do or what. But anyhow, I went over to see her, and we visited and visited. She was going to Youngstown Business College. And so I made a date. She'd stay in Youngstown, and she wouldn't come home maybe only once a month. Well, she graduated from business college. She got a job in the A.H. Beerley Company. That was a wholesale grocery and feed. And I got me a Model T Ford coupe. And I went the way to Youngstown pretty good, I'll tell you. And like I said, she'd always try to put you off. I went with her for about 2 years before I ever had nerve enough to ask her to marry. And I asked her, and she said, well, I have to see her. Well, I knew what she was going to say all the while. She stalled me out. Well, then we got married for 2.5 years. I went with her for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. That's cute. My goodness. It must have taken you forever to get to Youngstown. What, there were no roads as such, were there?
Went right down 90. Well, 90, what is that? That's 193.
Yeah.
193.
Well, that's great. When you said that you were dating, what did you do on dates? Did you court them on dates?
Oh, court them.
What is
take them to a picture show. My folks were deaf on dance. They were religious folk. They didn't believe in dance. But I was crazy about square dance. And we used to go square dance. That old town hall, Lee Smecca, was one place where we used to have square dancing almost every Saturday night. One night, there used to be a dance hall over to Windsor Mills. You know where Windsor is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there used to be a big dance hall. One night, there was 10 of us loaded into that model team board and went over there. Well, you know, now dance. We're just like that all the while, laughing.
I'm sure.
Square dance, we used to be crazy about.
Oh, that's great.
And going picnics and things like that.
How many children did you have?
Six.
What are their names?
Robert's the oldest. Then there's Anna. Then there's Norma. Then there's Carrie. Then there's Tom. You know Dixie?
Oh, yes.
Well, Tom, you know Tom.
Oh.
There's Tom, and then there was Jack. We were doing good. We were having a boy and a girl, a boy and a girl. Held up on the last.
That's
great. Helen always wanted a blue-eyed, blonde girl. But the last boy was a blue-eyed, blonde. And, is that 27 grandchildren? 7 grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness. How long then did you stayed in Mecca then, just for a relatively short time until 26, and then you moved out here, right?
So I had the children. That was a small house. First thing, there was nothing there, but there was a good sugar bush and a good piece of ground and a good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could melt sugar and mix up, and I had to go sugar out. The house was so bad, the roof leaked so that the wallpaper would get full of water and bag down. You'd have to move your bed. And then we'd get a yardstick, one to hold the dishpan, the other the yardstick, and push the old paper, drain the water out. If you didn't, it was going to bust and come down. And laugh, we had more fun. We had nothing, but we had fun, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's great.
And during the Depression, I tore that house to pieces. I had $500 in the bank, and I went up to Laird Lumber Company and I ordered new windows, new flooring, and doors and everything for that house. And when it came, the bank was closed.
Wow.
My father-in-law paid the bill. So I remodeled the house.
How'd you know you knew all that stuff, huh?
Well, training in school.
Was it tough raising your family? Did you have to go without during the 30s? You know, everyone, I remember my grandfather, my mother's father, having to go selling, he was known as Joe the Banana Man. He used to sell fruit to local businessmen. Did you have any problems during the Depression? Or were you pretty self-sufficient?
My wife would can stuff. She put up cans. We had no freezer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we had fruit, canned fruit. We always had lots of vegetables. Had a little vegetable salad. Keep pretty well.
How was the city affected by it, or wasn't it?
Oh, terribly. Lots of farmers had to farm 2/3 paid for.
Rolls around. How did that affect you? You didn't obviously have to go. Did you have children fighting that, son?
I wasn't any old enough.
Right, that's right. None of the old enough. How was this area then affected by that?
Well, I didn't know. Things seemed to go on.
Was it?
Prices went crazy. And price controls on things. I know. Maple syrup, we sell it to they had a ceiling of, what, 3-something. And sugar was rationed. There was no sugar. People were crazy over syrup. So it was like hotcakes.
What what made you stay in this area? When you made that move in 26 to come to Green, what made you stay here in this area? Your love of the land, your love of farming and this?
Well, I don't know. We just contented here.
I see. So you moved here in Green. How much did you pay for this one?
Well, I...
How did you come about acquiring this house?
You know where those two farms are over there?
Mm-hmm.
Where I used to live. There's a creek between them.
Okay.
There was an old couple that lived the next door, and we were very close, very close. When he died, I used to look after her. I'd take her eggs and milk and cut her wood for her and look after her. And then I bought that place. And I fixed that all up. I'd done it myself, too. Built those buildings myself. I didn't hire her. And then Tom got married, and he went to housekeeping there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a big dairy. A big dairy. We had around 100 head of Holstein cattle. And we were just doing awful good. Dick says she'll never be like that. She said every month we got a good check. She said we used to get $800 a month then. And she said the house was furnished with electricity. We had our milk and our eggs and our meat. She said we'll never have things like that.
No, my goodness, it's good money.
Well, you know what happened? Then Jack, well, what happened? Jack came to me and he said, Dad, he says, I'm going to get married. He told me in the spring. He said, I want a place to live. And I said, well, why can't I just get a good trailer and put in there? We got lots in there. No, he said, we don't want one. He said, we want a house. So I went down to Denman's, give Denman this lumberyard and building houses. And I got the plans. I was going to build a house, $1,800. It's going to be a nice house, too. And we had rented this place with nothing. You wouldn't believe it. You couldn't see the house for brush. There was no paint on it. And the fields were full of brush, and there's buildings back here all falling in. But we had rented this land from old Mrs. Rowley. She was an old widow. And she come over, she said, Charlie, she said, I come over to sell you my farm. Oh, I said, we ain't got to. Oh, I see you work over there. Well, she said, I don't know if anybody likes to work like you do. And I said, what do you have to have for it? She says, $12,000. You beat around the bush, she had it all figured out. And I said, I have never been in that house. And she said, well, here's the key. She says, you don't want to go over and look at it. They went over, nobody lived here. The papers were all, everything was dirty. And my wife was a worker too, if you think she was. And I said, what do you think? She says, just what I want.
Is that right?
And so I went up, she was staying with her daughter. I went up and told her, I said, there's too much money for the work that's got to be done. There's no plumbing. There's no heat. There was nothing in there. There was no kitchen. And, well, she said, what'd you do? Well, I said, I wouldn't give you over $11,000. Oh, I couldn't sell it. Well, she called up the next day. She was going to sell it. And that was in 1961.
Sorry. That's fantastic. You're involved in all your farming. You do a lot of it. You had the maple syrup. And what else did you farm? You and your family. Your children.
We raised corn. We raised soybeans. We raised oats. And we raised wheat. We all make syrup together. All of us.
Today. All your sons, correct?
And just Tom and Jack.
Just Tom and Jack.
But I gave him an acre of ground. He built a new house up here. He's a carpenter. He's a finisher. He does most of the finishing work, like these winding stairways and stuff. He's got all the work he can do all the while. The second son lives in Florida. And the oldest girl, the rest of the children are all around. All but the one in Florida. They're all right around here.
Oh, that's nice.
That's probably why we stay here. It's probably why they stay.
What's that?
What I did is how the flower pier out in Coon does decorating and stuff like that. And I had him come down and I said, I want these walls clean, clear of the plastic. So he steamed all the paper off. I said, I want the woodwork all done, all cleaned. And so we had that all done. Helen said, don't you let anybody paper. She said, I'm going to paper that house. She loved paying more paper. And he got that all done. That's why that stairway is, that was dark. The kitchen, that wainscoting around there, it was blank. He cleaned that all up for me. He put new carpets down, new linoleum. My oldest boy, the carpenter, then he put the kitchen for me. Harry Graham put in the heating system. I got heat in the rooms. He done my plumbing. We got a bathroom upstairs and downstairs. I think I put some money in.
I'm not sure of that. Tell me a little bit about the maple sugar business. Still a big business as it was then as it is now?
No.
No?
We made as much as we ever did. But as a whole, used to be a pretty early farm made a little syrup. Something about it is the poorest paying business on the farm for the amount of work. It's the time of year you can't do anything else. And you get started and it gets in your blood. I love to see the sap come out of the spire when you drive it in, and I love to see it boil. Dixie helped me make syrup. Did she ever tell you?
No. Does she?
She takes care of the syrup and I do the firing. We have an evaporator that's 5 feet wide and 16 feet long. It takes 4 foot wood. And I fire that, and it's almost automatic. The sap stays in 2 inch or an inch deep all the while. It's a regulator. It comes from a big tank into a pipe, and that regulator keeps it an inch deep. And it feeds around and feeds around and gets around a certain place and dials them under until it comes up. And all she has to do is open the valve and up comes the syrup. Then she has to filter the can.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a bag keeper. She's a worker too.
Yes. It's a delightful lady. How much is maple syrup going for? What, this past year, would you sold it for a gallon?
We sold it for 15, and everybody around us got oranges. We usually go to, they have a maple syrup institute every year. It's been over at Corey.
Mm-hmm.
And Lois and I like to go over there. And they set the price at 15. When sometime they make with Mr. Maines and the millers up here, they come down and see us and told us we sell them too cheap, you know. We have people that get syrup year after year after year, and if they call up in January and order syrup, how much is going to be, and you tell them 15, well then you're not going to raise your price to 16 and a half. You can't do it. So we stuck the price it's all gone. We don't have any gallons.
Is that right? That's amazing.
And you get to see people every year, and they gradually die off. You'd be surprised. We made syrup over there since 1926 on that farm. And people year after year come and get syrup, and then you wonder what happened. They didn't come every year.
You were going to tell me a story about Truman Love.
Well,
Lord, ahead and tell
he
me
had a big cider mill down there. Now, every one of these farms, the first thing they did when they settled here, they planted an orchard. When I used to come home from school, we'd walk home two-thirds of the time when the weather was good in the fall. We'd go through one orchard after another and pick out those big pound sweets. And big apples, and just as sweet as honey. And everybody had apples. Well, he had a cider mill. He made jelly and apple butter, too. And it was down on that Love place, back off the road. There's a scales in that little old barn up of the road where the horses used to drive in with the apples. And in the fall of the year, you'd see wagon load after wagon load of apples going down by the schoolhouse, going down there. In the morning,
about 9 o'clock, and you hear this whistle go boop, 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 boop. He was ready to make cider. Pretty soon the wagons had come with their apples. Yes, sir.
That's crazy.
Now, they never mentioned that.
No, they don't. No, it's not mentioned.
They said he was a raiser of livestock. He did have, he fed some cattle, too.
Very interesting. Has Mecca changed a lot since you were a young man till now? Would you like to see it go back to the way it was?
Oh, I don't know. That's all houses from Mecca to Cortland. They used to be farms. They used to be farms.
Has it changed being good for Mecca? It's a growing community. Goodness. Do you think
that's
a thing going?
I don't know. People have lived somewhere.
Would you advise people to move out here? His life has been so good to you. And it still is. Would you?
Yeah, but we don't like to have neighbors too close. I wouldn't. I've got ever so many people want to buy lots around here. I don't want that. I like it the way it is.
Yeah, you like your freedom in the open air. Sure. And property is very expensive out here now, and people are just moving in. It's unbelievable. You could probably then just see the growth just over the years. It's just amazing.
I have seen the value of property. I never believed it would get this high. Well, you get $5,000 for an 8-acre lot right around here. That was placed down here and sold out.
Mm-hmm.
I was offered $75,000 for the frontage, and I just keep this place, keep my place in the little back here.
$75,000?
I've got frontage on both sides, 46. I've got frontage on this one. Well, I don't know what this place is worth.
My goodness.
My brother Dick is he's the banker, of course.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't you know Dick Knight? You ever hear of him?
No, I know your son Tom through Dixie. And I think that's it. I don't know any other ones. I don't know Earl.
Well, he's chairman of the board of directors.
Oh.
Well, I told him I had a notion to sell out and get in a trailer and move over and chair over here. Give up for him. And he said, don't do that. He said, don't give it away if you do. He said, oh boy, what you could get for this.
Sure. Did you or do you now belong to any organizations other than the Grange?
I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Is that right?
Thanks, Tony. Sure.
Are you a practicing member?
Sure.
Is that right?
Sure. The King Hall was built on my farm.
So you're still active with them today?
Right.
Had you always been a Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah.
Were your parents witnesses?
My wife took up with it before I did.
How did you get involved? Because of your wife?
Well, got to reading, found out what the Bible taught, and that's what I took up with.
And you liked it, and liked what it told you?
I give talks around different
things. Oh, do you? It's a rather interesting religion, then. Being out here, there's a lot of witnesses, and I had never realized that before. It's
the
very
fastest growing religious organization there is.
Is that right?
Well, we have over 100 down here. Around 120 now.
Do you belong to any other organization?
Not now.
Not now?
Used to be great. What belongs to Farm Bureau?
We were a trustee. And the Board of Education in Mecca? Any of that?
Not in Mecca, I was in Green.
Were you?
I served 12 years in Green.
Are there any other stories you can share with us about Mecca that are delightful? You've given me just a wealth of information. The story about Phillips Rice Road is just beautiful. I just can envision that in my mind. Are there any other things that you would like to share with us?
Well, one thing that the lake did was it done away with our old swimming. On 80 West,
okay,
where the bridge crossed Mosquito Creek, there was a deep hole right just south of the bridge. the people told them the crib. Now, every warm summer evening, we children used to go down there in the sun. We had a pony. That was when I was a kid, and we used to get the pony in the buggy and start to mack on the time we got to mack, and we'd have the seat full and some hanging on the back end. Over and didn't know what bathing suits were.
Oh, you skinny dipped. That's cute. The old swimming hole. It's like you're reading magazines.
That's right.
That's great. Do you know of anybody that can help us with this project? Can you name any names of people that are still living? Or are they all...
I think you got them all.
Are they all deceased?
They probably told you all about the oil boom they knew.
You can add a little bit to it. I just have some information. Go ahead, tell me about the oil boom. Well, can you remember?
Well, I don't remember. My father, his father, I know what my father told me.
Go ahead, what did he tell you?
People just rushed in. They had two or three hotels over in West Macon, and they were packed out. Beer parlors, there used to be a west of the center. On the south side, there was Frazier, had a hot spot, they called it. He had go-go girls, everything. He did. And my folks used to hate that place. They would be wish somebody would burn it down. Oh, that was something.
Go ahead.
Didn't Frank Benton ever tell you about that?
No, he did not tell me. You wait till I see him the next time. He did not tell me about that.
You asked him about Frazier's place. They called it the Boo. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything. It was it.
People just flocked to that area then in the oil boom.
Why, sure.
Jeez.
People just flocked and their land went up from $30 an acre to $500.
But there wasn't, after a while, then that oil was just good for machines. It was that type of oil. It wasn't...
The oil was just in pockets. And that methyl oil. When that pocket was pumped out, that's all there was.
Mm-hmm.
All played out.
After the boom, then everyone just went back and just moved back. It's interesting. That's interesting about the go-go girls. He did not tell me that.
That's what my father told me.
Oh, I believe you.
Well, sure, you know where oil drillers and things come in. That always goes together.
Well, I want to thank you for spending this time with me. You've just been a delight. I've learned a lot, and I appreciate you taking out the hour and a half to go over all of this, and it's been really enjoyable. I've learned a lot. You're a delightful man, and I wish you many years of good health and happiness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I got somebody else that's going to...